And in this season, most important is to wait for the Lord. That idea of waiting is, I don't know if there is anybody who likes waiting. Nobody likes it, but we are all the time waiting for. I think Jesus Christ, he just likes to be waited on. First, the Jews were waiting for him for almost 2,000 years. And then he came, he was just 30 years with them, and he left. Now we wait for him to come in glory. We always wait. And why is this important about the waiting? Because we have to have clear understanding that we are not created to stay on this earth. I hope you have clarity of that. I mean, for me, easiest to compare it is because I'm spending so much time on airports, more than what I like. It's like being on the airport. Nobody comes on the airport to stay there forever, okay? It would be silly if you come on the airport and then, it's a long time here, and my flight is delayed. I better buy a tent here. I see the shop. I can buy the tent. I can organize the. I don't know. Then you order. I don't know. You ask somebody, bring me some small house here, and so on. To build your place there on airport, isn't that stupid? We are here on this earth like on the airport. We are not meant to stay here. And the more we put roots here on earth, the more difficult for us is when the Lord comes to bring us to heaven, is to say, I need my tent, I need to pack all this. Lord says, leave this. You don't need this in my kingdom. I think it's very important, all this time is to prepare us for the coming of the Lord. To desire this coming. We have big problem because we desire more, most people, most of us desire more to stay here on this earth than to go with the Lord. Come on. Is anybody here who wants to live 1,000 years? Yeah, it sounds silly. Even if you could, you would say, come on. Yes, I'm comfortable in this moment here, but I don't want to stay here forever, even if I could, correct? Everybody understands my place is not here. I'm created for something greater. But there is a big problem. Whenever the Lord says, okay, now it's time to come, oh no, wait, I have to finish this. I have to finish this game. I have to sober up. I have to wait for my children to get married, for my grandchild to get born. Don't worry, you will see from Kingdom of Heaven your grandchildren. My favorite complaint when we study the Old Testament is people complaining about God being unfair to Moses, if you remember that story. Moses made only one sin that we know. The only one sin that God complained. Moses was faithful to God for 120 years. Okay, 80 years. We cut off first 40 years when he didn't know about God. He was working for God 80 years faithfully. And he made one sin. And God says, because of that sin, you will not enter the promised land. I will allow you to see it from far, from one hill, but you will not enter. Come on, God, isn't that unfair? Don't you feel it as unfair? Don't worry. Didn't you see Moses together with Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus? Moses didn't lack anything. Actually, whatever experience we have in eternal life, which is the fullness of life, is much, much more real, much more deeper, much more fuller experience than if we experience it now. In this life, whatever experience you have is very superficial because we are very distracted. You come in the beautiful land, I don't know, you come to whatever land you want, Israel. You see the places where Jesus was working, you are walking, you are so impressed. Ah, but you are distracted because your stomach hurts. You cannot enjoy this land. or you are on the beautiful spot, I don't know, Niagara Falls, and you might be so impressed, but there is a girl with miniskirt, and you miss the point. We always, on this earth, we always miss the point. Come on, we are created for something greater. And this time comes exactly to help us to bring the focus on one thing which is necessary, on one thing which can bring us nothing, the person which can bring us to eternal life, and that's Jesus Christ. Only way to come to heaven, because Christ has created us for heaven. The day when you are created to enjoy fullness of happiness with Christ in heaven. So, most important is to recognize the source of our happiness, Jesus Christ. To love God with all our heart, all our mind, all our strength. Our problem is, we love God, yes. But we love everything else, too. So we are distracted with so many things. It's not a problem that we don't love God. I don't think anybody here would be sitting really in the church if you don't have some kind of love for God. That's not the problem. Problem is we love also thousand other things. Our heart is divided by so many things which we are attracted to. And for that reason, it's necessary to love one thing more than everything else, so that all desires, all the energy of our life might be focused toward one thing which is necessary. Then everything will fall into its place. Our heart is so divided. We can at the same time have desire to be mother, like Mother Teresa, and to be James Bond. Two things which are absolutely impossible, we are able to desire at the same time. And then we don't manage anything, not one or other. If you want to be James Bond, you have to desire that with all heart and forget everything else. If you want to be Mother Saint like Mother Teresa, you have to desire that with all heart and forget everything else. You cannot go in two different directions at the same time. And that's the point. Only thing what can focus our heart when our heart is attracted to something much greater than I. Much greater than to recognize that Christ is the source of our joy. That's what is necessary. Joy is the word which I think we have to understand. I don't know if you have heard about the book of C.S. Lewis, Surprised by Joy. Anybody heard about that book? It's his autobiography. And I was surprised by his idea of joy. Because for him, joy is not something what you have, what you have found. Joy is something what you always search. Here on earth, you can have only just the glimpses of joy, because that are the glimpses of heaven. We never have the fullness of joy here. So for him, joy was this longing for heaven. For him, the joy is this moments when you discover that there is much greater joy than you have ever experienced here on earth. And you are directed toward the source of the joy, toward heaven. I don't know if I'm explaining it well. I don't see it on your faces. He says it in this way. It is interesting that we most often discover that we are lacking something in the moments of the greatest happiness we have. When you are unhappy, or I don't know, when you are lacking something, when you are hungry and cold, you think, I will be happy when I eat. I will be happy when I get warm blanket. When you are lonely, you will think, I will be happy. When you are lonely, you think, I will be happy when I have somebody to be with. But whatever you are lacking, you get and you discover you need something more. When you fulfill all your desires, when everything is fulfilled, on the day when you get married, you are standing there with the person you love on the top of your happiness, and you discover there is still something you are longing more. That's heaven. Because we are created for heaven. And we have to discover this longing in us. Otherwise, we become content with this little happiness which we have here. I know, sometimes we know there is more, but we believe we can never reach it. Sometimes we know there is more, and we think, God can never love me, because happiness is to be union with God. And therefore, we look at our sins. Problem with our sins are two things. First of all, they distract us from real happiness. And second, we often feel that God will never bring us to the eternal happiness because of our sins. Now, let me tell you this way. I hope this might help. Recently, I heard in one confession, somebody was confessing, drinking, drugs, or some other addictions. And I said, you know what? God doesn't care at all how much you drink. God cares for you. God doesn't care at all how many drugs you took. God cares for you. Problem is, if you are drunk, you may miss the train when God comes. Problem is that when you create addiction, drunkenness or something, you are not free to come out and look for the Lord. You are not free. You are enslaved. It's not that God doesn't love you. You cannot receive the happiness which God wants to bring you because you look for happiness in something else. Absolutely, that's only problem. God never thinks that you are messed up so much that He cannot help you. Problem is, if we want that help, once we are in addiction, we don't want to come out. We don't want other happiness than this little happiness of being drunk every day or every once a week. It doesn't matter how many times. God wants to give us bigger happiness. There is another problem with our sins. Same as on airport, you cannot bring everything on the airplane. You cannot bring your knife. You cannot bring, I don't know what. You cannot bring your anger to heaven. There will be never strife in the kingdom of heaven. You hate somebody, you have problem with somebody, you cannot bring that grudge into kingdom of heaven. You have to ask Christ, please help me to love that person as you love him. As simple as that. It's not matter, God doesn't love you, God doesn't want you to enter the kingdom of heaven or something. It's impossible for you to be in heaven with that anger in you. Make sense? And even let's not think about any specific sin. One most general sin, self-centeredness, selfishness, being focused on myself. It's impossible then to be in heaven, because in the heaven, the joy is being focused on God, forgetting yourself. You know what is ecstasy? Ecstasy is coming out of yourself. That's experience when you find somebody and you fall in love. You're in ecstasy. You forget yourself, you come out of yourself and you focus completely on another person. What is source of every depression? Being focused on yourself, on your belly button. Me, myself and I. That's just depressing. Nobody like that can be in heaven so depressed. Me, poor me. Nobody loves me, everybody looks at God. Everybody is so fascinated with God, nobody looks at me. Of course, you look at God, be fascinated with God, and you will find the same joy as everybody else. But our self-centeredness has to be broken already now, at least a little bit. We have to learn to love God. If you don't find joy in God, why you would go to heaven? It's not that God wants to throw you into hell. It's simply, there is no other joy. The day when you are created for the joy of heaven. If you search joy somewhere else, God says, I wanted to give you joy, but if you don't find joy in this, what I prepared for you, I cannot help you. Keep searching, but there is nothing else. So, most important is then to see that Christ comes to bring us to heaven, to wait at Him as source of all our happiness. I will now mix a bit metaphors, not waiting to go to heaven, but like we arrive on the final destination and on airport, and then you look for the car which comes to pick you up. My problem is they tell me I will come with white Honda. I don't know how Honda looks like, so I look for every white car. Is this? No. Is this? And so on, and so on. So that's how we need to wait for God. It's not a matter that we need to pray all the time, or I don't know, to pretend to be holy all the time, or something. It is to have, to build in us this expectation for true happiness. And clarify to my heart, to the depth of my being, that whatever happiness I have here is more destruction than true happiness. Nothing wrong to be happy here. But to see that not to be distracted with the little things of this world, and to be focused on the world to come, on the Christ who comes to bring us to his kingdom. Let us stand and profess our faith.